Thanks, everybody, for tuning into The Short Thing today. It is March 22nd. Warren and Ryan here with you. Lots to talk about as we had the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, obviously, this past weekend, so we'll have that. As now we look ahead to the Sweet 16, which kicks off on Thursday, so we'll have some picks for that, as well as the lines have been out. We'll also talk more quarterback shuffling in the NFL, so we'll get into that, some big moves going on there, and then we'll have some World Cup qualifiers for the U.S. Big games coming up on Thursday, Sunday, and next Wednesday. These are the last three qualifiers because the World Cup draw is going to be next Friday on April 1st. So hopefully the U.S. can qualify, but we'll get into that towards the end of the show. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. Ryan, how is it? This is take number two because we had a little equipment error.
Yeah, it's going well. We're trying to do a daddy daycare show here, so the kid thought it was a good idea to push the power button. And I was watching him too, because he was standing right by. I was watching his little quick fingers, got to it before I did. And then I had a second opportunity because it asked me, like, hey, we still have programs running. You sure you want to shut it down? And before I could grab that little fat hand of his, he pushed the button again. So take two. That's on me. Dad needs to have a little bit more awareness when we're running the daddy daycare show here. But great weekend of games. As I mentioned the first time around, but you guys don't know that. We already hit the over for the overtime games. We hit it on Thursday. Some really good games all weekend long. Arizona was in a dogfight with a gritty TCU team.
I was all over that. I don't mean to take a victory lap. I mean, you were on it too, but that was I was all over that.
That was the one team where I was worried, but now, I've had a couple people hit me up and a couple people I've talked to. They were like, oh man, Arizona, you should be worried. Quite the opposite. That's the exact game you need to kind of grease the bearings a little bit to get you ready for a nice little championship run here. So it couldn't have happened in a better spot for Arizona, but it was a great game. A lot of really good games, some really great stories, obviously, with St. Peter's making a little Sweet 16 run here out of nowhere, but it's been a fun tournament. I think we've covered all the bases and have hit every bullet point for somebody to have to say that's why they call it March Madness, or this is March, or something of that nature. I think we've pretty much hit all bullet points there.
We are missing one bullet point.
What's that? Buzzer beater?
No buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
We have not had a buzzer beater this tournament.
Could have had one in that Arizona game, but Dalen Terry decided to try to dunk a ball at the buzzer rather than lay it up, which was a wild.
There wouldn't have been an opportunity because the ref should have called a foul.
That was a flop.
It was a foul. It was either a backcourt or a foul, and they chose to call neither.
I'm fine with that.
But there was a foul there that went uncalled. But no, we haven't had any buzzer beaters. What was he thinking about trying to? What was he thinking? The Arizona guy.
Yeah, that's a great question. I couldn't tell you. I mean, if it's me, like, I maybe try to pull up from like the free throw line, pull from 5 feet, 15 feet, 10 feet,
you
something like that.
Finger roll.
Yeah. But he tried to lay it in or tried to dunk it in. And I think he realized last second, because it was an actual dunk. He like had the ball right over the hoop and then let go of it. But yeah, I don't know. If Arizona loses that game, he is taking that to his grave and he's thinking about that every single day for the rest of his life. Why didn't I just try to finger roll it in or put it up and shoot it, something like that. But that was a wild move. Thankfully they came out with the victory, but I don't know what he was thinking either.
Yeah. We still haven't had we didn't have any double OT games.
No.
If you're looking for that. And I was trying to figure out the bad beats, because I was looking at that. First of all, those odds on Thursday changed big time. I think we might have had like two or three bad beats. I didn't really see anybody tweeting out like any horrendous ones. I think maybe the Michigan State Davidson one was like the only bad beat. When the kid hit the three with like, 2 seconds to go?
Oh, yeah.
And Michigan State was -1, I think. I think that might have been the only bad beat. Other than that, I didn't really see a lot of other people doing, tweeting out bad beats, or I would have seen it, but I don't think there were that many. I mean, you could say a bad beat, it didn't come down to like the last 5 seconds, but Michigan State on Sunday, how they did not cover 6.5 against Duke. That was, That was sick. That was disgusting.
They were inside the number almost the entire game, and then it just let it
slip
away.
Up five with like 4 minutes to go, and they lose by nine. Like, how? I'm still mad about that. All right. What other, so the games from this weekend, as you said, St. Peter's, we had, Iowa State move on. I thought there was going to be some, I didn't think we were going to get all the one or two seeds in. Carolina loses or beats Baylor after they did blow it, come back in overtime. Credit to them for winning. They also got kind of unlucky by the refs ejecting one of their players, one of their better players, but also you're up 25. You shouldn't blow that lead. They go down Auburn. I never really believed in Auburn all year. At least make it into the Final Four or anything. They get steamrolled in the second half. The first half, they had it close at halftime, but they got steamrolled in the second half. They go down. And then obviously Kentucky, goes down to St. Peter. So those are where you could quote unquote giant killers. And then, Michigan over Tennessee. Both of us, we had Michigan in the Sweet 16. That was plus 270. We gave that out there. And they took down a Tennessee team that everybody was crying foul for not being a two seed. But when it's Rick Barnes being the coach, guess what? You never make the second weekend.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, it doesn't matter who he's coaching or what color orange they're wearing. He's going to find a way to blow it a little bit. The one of the games that stuck out to me this weekend, just because, you know, I took a little victory lap, Richmond, I was all over them, advancing. I had to bet three ways, money line, over, and obviously to cover against Iowa. They did all three. Come up in the second round and fall a little short. But other than Providence really making a run, I mean, even a lot of people had Iowa State making a little bit of a run. Miami, I tweeted out, Saturday or Friday night. I had USC in a parlay when I was in Vegas for my birthday. They lost as a 10-point favorite. So that was all I needed to know, that Miami would beat them. Sure enough, they did. Miami's making a nice little run here. There's been a couple people that said, you know, Miami was kind of a sleeper in the ACC, and, you know, credit to them for picking that out, for sniffing that out, because they've really gone on a nice little run here these last 2 days. But they're going to have a tough matchup next round. It's tough for you, Kentucky, as your national champion, not making it out of the first round. That's tough.
I can hang my head on North Carolina making it to the Sweet 16. I can hang my head on that. I had that.
Yeah. All right. That's, you know, pretty much the same thing. So you're 100% right. But, you know, it's lining up for some fun matchups here in the coming days. We're watching the St. Peter's game on Saturday night, Jamie and I, and, they show, Doug Eater right before the game's about to end. And I look at Jamie and I said, does that look like a guy that should be playing in the Sweet 16? And she had a funny line. She goes, no, that looks like a guy that should be having a Sweet 16. I don't know if he should be playing in it. And I said, exactly. That team, you know, the little run they're going on is pretty remarkable. Hearing their coach talk, you know, he seems like he's a dog. He's a former Seton Hall guard. He's primed these guys for the battle, and he has all the confidence in the world in them. But, you know, I guess we'll really see the true test coming up on what, Friday night against Purdue. You know, I don't hate St. Peter's against Purdue. I think Purdue's got a cakewalk a bit, but I don't hate St. Peter's to make it to the Elite Eight, but I don't think I like it enough to play it.
Yeah, this is the second year in a row the 15 seeds made the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And what were we talking about? Those odds on a 15 seed winning, whether they're bad, they're like plus 300 or whatever. If you take all four and all that. I mean, look, they were the only one, because a 14 didn't win. And then I don't even think a 13 beat a four. Or obviously a 16 didn't win, but again, those odds, it's not that. You all know what's bad about the Kentucky thing. So one of my friends I was watching the games with this weekend, he is in a pool. It's pretty much Super Bowl squares, but with the bracket. So you pay your entry fee. I think it's like $50 or whatever. And then before Selection Sunday, you are slotted in the bracket. So when the bracket comes out, that's your team. It's just blind draw. So your name is on the slot for the bracket. And like, so you could get 16. Who knows what you're getting? So that's kind of cool of it. So this year's team was Kentucky, and you get paid out if your team just wins a game. Obviously it goes up as you go throughout the rounds, and his team this year was Kentucky. So he thought, hey, you know what? Maybe I get to at least the Sweet 16 this year. I'll at least maybe get my money back with winning a round one game, but nope, he had Kentucky.
That's brutal. That's tough. I mean, of all the teams to get, I mean, whew, you'd feel better getting, you know, a six seed and losing rather than getting, getting Kentucky and losing. That's tough for him.
For sure, but that's a cool little pool there.
Oh no, yeah, no doubt. That's real cool. I hadn't heard of that before.
Yeah, and then I felt bad for one of my buddies in a group chat, the three of us. We were like, all right, let's everyone have a game, we'll parlay it together. I took Kansas minus like an alt line at five. Our other buddy had Michigan money line, and then it comes down to him on Saturday night, and he had a Murray State money line.
Oof.
Let me know how that went. He was like, of course this comes down to me. And I go, buddy, what are you going to do? You said you wanted them. This is what we do. But
That was another game that was really good. The San Francisco Murray State game.
That was great. I think that might have been the game of the weekend. Maybe until TCU Arizona.
Yeah.
I watched the first half of TCU Arizona, but I went to bed. The San Francisco Murray State game was the game of the weekend, one of them.
Yeah, that was, you know, who was the fella's name for, San Francisco? Bouye or something like that?
Yeah, Bouye.
Just put the team on his back and was like, you know what? If this team goes down, it's going to be, you know, me shooting it. And, he hit some great shots. It seemed like there at the end, Murray State just could not miss. And unfortunately for San Francisco, Bouye came up short a couple times. But, yeah, I mean, the way they were going back and forth there at the end, and he just really kept them in that game all on his own was real remarkable. And like you said, that might have been the game of the first round for sure.
Yeah, and then Murray State just didn't know how to play at the end of regulation, and overtime they couldn't miss. But at the end of regulation, they were up like 10, and they didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do. He is a senior, so, like, I think he's got, I don't know. If you can shoot it from three, like you can, like he can, I mean, this year only shot 33%. No, that was this game. But this year he shot, 36% from three. Last year, 37%. He might find himself on an NBA roster as a little sharpshooter there coming off the bench. He's got, cause he's a, he looked bigger than 6'2", didn't he?
He did.
Did you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's only 6'2".
He's got a big body too. He's kind of a big bodied guy.
Yeah. So he's got that going for him. I thought he was taller than 6'2". From the tournament, I don't know. That's pretty much all I got. We got a collection of, like we said, higher seeds in there. Duke, but the Michigan State Duke game. First of all, that's a ratings bonanza for CBS. They're open for that. I'm surprised Izzo and Coach K still right now at 10 a.m. on Tuesday aren't hugging at the half court.
I was getting a little uncomfortable. I was like, man, we might need to put a, kind of a sensor on this. I thought they were going to start undressing each other, slowly taking off each other's ties and things like that. That was a passionate embrace. I don't know if I've hugged Jamie like that in since we've been married. I don't know if that says more about our marriage or more about them, but Jiminy Christmas, that was a long embrace and snuggle fest going on.
I thought we were going to have a three-way kiss between Nance, Coach K, and Izzo at the line after the game. I thought Jimmy was going to run across half court and get in there too.
That would have been quite the scene. I didn't even think of that. That would have been, just what the country needed. In our tough turmoil that we're going through right now, a three-way kiss between Izzo, Coach K, and Jim Nance could have brought us all together.
God, any more look at me, old white men in moment right there. Nance is not like, it sucks that CBS just torpedoes him in for the tournament. And he's calling all the top games. I know we've talked about this before. Why? I don't think he's very good at basketball. I'd rather hear Ian Eagle and, is he with Jim Spanarkle?
Yeah.
Him, they'll have them, Brian Anderson and Jim Jackson. Jim Jackson's okay, but just Kevin Harlan gets stuck with Reggie Miller, but him and Dan Bonner, like those three guys, they're better. I just don't think Jim Nance is good. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's good at basketball.
That's fair. Ian Eagle did a fantastic job.
He's great.
But I mean, like on Friday, was it Friday? Either Thursday or Friday.
Thursday.
Okay, Thursday. I mean, he just didn't miss a beat. How many games did he do? Did he do like three games?
No, they all do four.
Really? He did all four? Okay, yeah.
That's they all do the site. They all do four for the site.
I mean, he just remarkable work there by him to be able to A, stay locked in, B, still have the same enthusiasm. I mean, I don't know how much coffee or however that guy supplemented his energy, whether it was, illicit drugs or otherwise, shout out to him because he kept the energy the entire time and was fantastic all day long.
You should give credit to all of them, because all of them call four games on the first round.
Yeah, but I mean, Ian Eagle's the one that really stuck out to me where I was like, damn, this guy is just like, he's hasn't missed a beat. Like,
oh, yeah, because he was on CBS. I'm not saying that you didn't, but he was on CBS, so he got the main draw on Thursday.
Yeah.
But no, they all
shout out to all of them, because by game, probably like first half of the first half of game three, I'm probably checking out, or I'm looking for, you know, I'm tapping my helmet for somebody to come give me a someone come and give me a sub.
Yeah. Those days are long. And the problem is what they did now in the morning, it's like they don't stack them properly. So there's like two games on at once.
Yeah.
Instead of the four, like it's really, yeah, you want to watch in the afternoon, but really the thing is you just got to watch at night when you get all four going on at once. That's the good stuff there.
Yeah.
Like they just, I know why they stack it, but it's bad. And I still don't understand why people still right now don't know that CBS has the exclusive window on Saturday and Sunday. That's why a game doesn't start till 5 o'clock on TNT or whatever. How many years are we going to go through this? 10 years now we're doing this? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no. I mean, hey, not everyone's as tuned into the TV rights as we are here on The Short Thing.
Or if you tweet about it, then don't respond and say, I know. Well, then don't tweet about it if you want people to respond to you.
Correct.
All right. Let's look ahead this week as we have, we'll start on Thursday. We got Arkansas Gonzaga. That Memphis Gonzaga game was good too. And Drew Timmy in the second half was phenomenal in the second half.
Yeah, it didn't look like the most overrated player in the country, like I, so conveniently coined him, but I still think he is slightly overrated. But no, he went off. I mean, he even said after the game that he gave a nice little pump up Tim Tebow speech, a little more explicit than what Tim Tebow would usually give, but he got the boys going and was able to carry out his end of the bargain. So, you know, hats off to him. Shout out to him because he kind of put the team on his back there and carried them in that second half.
Yeah, he did. Well, they have Arkansas. They're -9. I think the total at 155, a little high.
Yeah.
I can't play the under on that. I don't want to, but that would be a game I'm not participating in the over. That seems too high. Arkansas's prolific offense seem to have cooled down right now. I don't like that, but I would say Gonzaga, and I don't even know what to make of Arkansas right now. Don't really know, but I would like Gonzaga there. I think Villanova, they're primed. They're in the same region as Arizona, right?
Michigan and Villanova?
No, Arizona. Yeah. They're in the Arizona. Yeah, they're in Arizona.
I
think Villanova takes care pretty easily of Michigan. And this is like one of those, huh?
I say I agree with you.
This is like one of those Jay Wright teams where they've just been lingering in the weeds all year. Yeah, they're a 2 seed. No one's talking about them. And then, bang, next thing you know, they're cutting down the nets.
Yeah. No, it's a team that very much just kind of does what they need to do to get the job done. They don't do anything spectacular. They make their free throws. They have pretty good guard play. But, you know, they're not doing anything flashy. They don't have any, like, big-time dudes that you're really keeping your eye out for. They just, like you said, they just – that's almost like a, you know, obviously not literally, but like a professional team. They just go out there, get the job done, pack it up, and bring it back for the next day.
Yeah, so I like Villanova -5.5. Then we got Tech and Duke. I like Tech. I think Tech's going to win. That's like a pick 'em or a 1-point spread. And then, boy, everybody's on Houston. Where is everybody on Houston coming from?
I have no idea. What? No, because I think Houston stinks. I think they're severely overrated. I don't think they're very good. I told one of my buddies, I bet you Arizona wins by double digits.
They're only favored by 1.5.
Yeah, I know.
Surprisingly low, and everyone's like, oh, man, Houston's criminally underseeded, criminally underseeded. The first NCAA tournament, you could take a look at, like, you could say, oh, They didn't play in the AAC, but they didn't beat an NCAA tournament team until they beat UAB.
Right.
In the first round. And yeah, you could say, okay, they'll still be good. But they were impressive in the beginning of the season, but I think they just cooled up. Maybe they're finding the stride now again. It's a tournament that's like the NBA regular season. You're bored. I don't know, but boy, a lot of people loving Houston and saying, man, at a 5, criminally underseeded. I don't know. I thought they were.
I don't know.
I agree. I think they're very overrated for what everyone thinks they are.
Yeah, a lot of love for Houston. And then we already talked about St. Peter's and Purdue. Those games were on Thursday. Providence is another team people are trying to take victory laps on for making it here. I think that game's going to be fairly close. I think Kansas probably keeps it pretty close. And then we got a great one, UNC, North Carolina, and then Iowa State, Miami. What are your, let's just go through do you have any picks? What are the picks on the card? Obviously, Arizona's one. You said they're going to win by double digits.
Yeah, Arizona's going by double digits. I'm on Villanova as well, laying the 4.5. Like I said, I think they're just one of those teams. They're just going to get it done. And I wouldn't be surprised if they make a Final Four run. I like Tech right now. I don't know if I'm going to put them on the official card, but they're one that I put maybe in the tickler file a little bit. So right now the official card would be Nova -4, Arizona -1.5. You want me to do Friday's games as well?
Yeah.
We're going to that Providence-Kansas game, like you said. Providence played nothing but close games and just came to be, came out on top almost all the time. I think this is finally their first test against a big dog. I think Kansas covers the 7. I like UCLA to make a little run, but I think I'm going to take UNC. Who did I say? I said UCLA, but I think UNC covers the 2.5, and then I'm going to take Miami to cover the 2.5 as well. So a lot of favorites here. That's kind of how it shapes up in the Sweet 16 for me. I like to see the Cinderellas get to the Sweet 16, but by the time we get to Elite 8, give me the big dogs, give me the blue bloods. I want to see the big guys fight it out for the championship.
Yeah, I'm going to take for my picks, I got Villanova -5.5. I like Tech -1. Give me the over in Houston, Arizona, and then the over in Providence, Kansas right now. UCLA, God, I want to take that over, but they just, Hawkes might be out. I don't know. They're an interesting bunch right there. All right. So a couple of things observation wise, this orange ball is killing me. This oranger ball here is brutal. How many times didn't you think that this oranger ball, it was just going to the, whenever there was a shot that like rattled the rim, it would never go in. It would always bounce out. Like if there was one that rattled the rim and went in, it was shocking. This yellow ball does not go in the hoop at all. This thing bounces off the rim. It is not indicative for scoring.
I agree. Yeah. No, it's very bouncy, very springy. I don't know if the orange has a little more cushion on it or what, but, like you said, it would rattle around the rim, but it would never go out. It would always come up and come out. Every single time. So yeah, I don't know what I guess they've been using this orange ball for a while now.
No. I
just
looked
started
it up
for the tournament.
So I looked it up. So at the beginning of the season, they used the ball. They used this ball, and then teams had the option, and conferences had the option to use whatever ball they wanted. So a bunch of them opted for the other ball, and then the NCAA said, I think at the beginning of the season, no matter what, we're using this ball in the NCAA tournament. So then all the conferences at the conference tournaments use this ball.
Okay, that makes sense. I knew that it had been not implemented, but it had been like entered at the beginning of the season, but I didn't realize that teams had the option up until recently.
Yeah. So that's, they had the option of using it all year, but then some teams didn't, some teams did, but then in the conference tournaments, they all did. I also think, I know I said this last year, a couple of other things. I know I'm in the minority on this, but they need to go to quarters in men's college basketball.
False.
No, yes, they do. They need to go to quarters. I know you disagree. We had this discussion last year, 2 years ago. I just think they need to go to quarters. Too many times are their teams going 8 minutes without scoring, 7 minutes without a field goal made. They need to go to quarters. There's not a big outcry for it, but they need to go to quarters.
Do you know why there's not a big outcry for it? Because it doesn't need to be needed. It's not needed.
Yes, it does. The game would be more pleasing on the eye, I think.
I think the game is pleasing just as fine as the way it is.
I think they need quarters. Then my one friend had this. He goes, so after, what do you think about this? After each timeout, no matter when you call a timeout, you get to decide where the choice of ball is.
Well, everyone would just take it from half court, no?
Well, no, you can put it under the hoop of the opponent.
Oh, so say Villanova calls a timeout.
Villanova picks where the ball is.
So the team that calls the timeout gets to pick the ball?
Yeah. So I think it should be opposite, but he said it was this
way. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, so like if You know, this weekend, it's, you know, Arizona calls a timeout. Houston gets to select where Arizona gets the ball.
Yeah, but that's not what his thing is. He says Villanova calls a timeout or Arizona calls a timeout. Arizona picks where the ball is on that.
Even if they have the ball?
Yeah.
No. That's stupid because everybody would take it at half court.
Take it at half court. They put it under the hoop.
Or yeah, but under the hoop of their
hoop.
Yeah. When you said under the hoop, I was thinking on the opposite side.
No,
100%. Yeah.
But it would, I mean, look, that would be kind of sick.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would. Yeah, I don't know. So what if? Because like you've seen some.
But
a team scores a basket and then they call the timeout right away.
They get to move. That's your luck. Use your timeouts wisely. You don't get to pick. You called the timeout. It's not your ball.
So you only get to choose if you have the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Whew.
But I think you also threw the caveat in, like under a minute, you can only go up to half court. You can advance it like
you'd have to get it
70. You can't get it 93 feet under the hoop.
Yeah.
That was the caveat there. Interesting.
How about if you put it under the hoop, the guy that inbounds the ball has to stay out of bounds the entire time.
Ooh, I like that. Or at least, what about for 10 seconds?
Yeah, for 10 seconds. There you go. He's got a 10-second runoff. Yeah, there you go.
That'd be interesting. I like that. I like that. All right. That's it for the tournament. Great weekend so far, and hopefully it continues with this action ahead. As we move on. And the thing is too, if you're betting this weekend, they're all in the basketball arenas. We're not in any football stadiums for the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, which they normally do sometimes. They've gone back to the basketball arena.
So hopefully field goal percentages are up.
Yes.
Although if you're Texas Tech, I mean, I don't know if you saw that game against, was it Yale? No, who did they play their first round? I forget whoever played their first round. They shot 67% from the field. I don't know.
Yeah, they played Montana State.
Montana State, yeah. Oh yeah, my boy with the goggles from Montana State. But yeah, they shot 67% from the field. I was like, Jiminy Christmas. They were just they have to worry about that orange ball bouncing out of the hoop because everything was just going right in.
No, they didn't. They didn't. All right, that's that. All right, to the NFL. Big news as the Deshaun
Ryan.
Matt Ryan has moved on to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday for a nice little third-round pick. I still don't understand what the Colts are doing. They're just a one-year quarterback type of team, I guess. Hey, they're taking swings, trying to get a bridge. Who knows? And then Deshaun Watson.
Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, to Atlanta. Some people are happy about that, I guess, in Atlanta. Some are not. I don't know. They should have. This is what I said last year. Why didn't they just draft Justin Fields at 4?
They're probably wishing they did. Without Kyle Pitts, I don't know who they would have anybody to throw to.
But that
right
doesn't
now.
Matter. You're going to get a quarterback. You need a quarterback.
Yeah, you're right.
Obviously, like I still don't understand why they didn't. You just if you know you're moving on from him after a year, just take the rookie.
Yeah.
And now you're going to get a potentially worse rookie. Who knows? I mean, the book is still out on Justin Fields. Just take a quarterback at 4, whoever you were going to take. Just take a quarterback last year. He's probably better than the class this year. Then, I think the NFL, they need to go on a pause during the tournament.
Yeah, they're trying to hijack everything.
Devontae Adams in the middle of Thursday night games, that was out of nowhere. And then everyone's like, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers, did he know about this? Blah, blah, blah. All this. There's just too much information going on. Just, you know what? Let the 4 days breathe. Come back on Monday and just give a big news dump from the weekend on Monday.
Yeah, no, I think all sports should go on a, you know, a little holiday during the tournament. Let us have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come back Monday and, resume business as usual.
Or just get your news off before noon on Thursday and Friday.
There you go.
How about that? In the morning, here's your news. Everybody relax. Okay. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. And then
other big quarterback news, Matt Barkley. He goes back to Buffalo.
Did he?
Yeah.
So he's their third stringer.
Who's their second string?
They traded a seventh rounder for Case Keenum.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, maybe. Now that's, yeah, Case Keenum getting traded from the Browns. That's really like the only quarterback news.
The only quarterback news that happened in Cleveland this weekend.
Go off. Let us hear your Deshaun Watson takes.
The Deshaun Watson take, I think a lot of people, it's a confusing thing. I don't even think I've even been happy that they've traded for him.
Really?
If we're being honest, I don't know.
Because of what's surrounding him or because of that massive contract they gave him?
No, it's because of what's surrounding him. I don't care about the contract. Mm-hmm. It's about what's surrounding him. I mean, the guy's got 22 allegations against him. And I know he's not going to get – the grand jury's not charging him, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into stuff about a grand jury and things like that. So it's not – I mean, that's going – but 22 allegations. And, yeah, some people have – there's been like, oh, this person, like their family's come out and said for some of the people that, oh, this didn't happen and she's just trying to get money. Yeah, look, I probably think that there's probably a handful of them are there, but 22 is 22. Like there's gotta be some fire in 22, right? Like it's not just like the one, two people. Okay. You could pass that 22. I mean, that's where there's smoke. There is some fire. And again, look, you don't go to the NFL for your morals, okay? Like, don't expect to have – like, the NFL is not the moral police, okay? Look at what they did with Ray Lewis. Just everything. Ray Rice, all the things – all the other things that they – Greg Hardy, we'll suspend him for this. Throws a lady on a bed of guns, and then he's back playing. You don't go to the NFL for your morals. And I'm shocked. I shouldn't say I'm surprised that people are stunned that an NFL team has decided to trade for Deshaun Watson. 13 teams when he wasn't going to be charged by the grand jury criminally, 13 teams called the Texans and they were laid out in front of Deshaun Watson. And he picked five of them, and he ended up interviewing with four of them. The five were the Colts, the Browns, the Saints, and the Falcons. So 13 teams tried to do this. Of course they're going to do this. He's like a top five quarterback in the league when he's in there. And the whole bottom line is they're going to win. And when you win, guess what? The Deshaun Watson stuff isn't going to be talked about a lot. What did we just see from Ben Roethlisberger? He just got a glory send-off, and he had two sexual assault allegations against him, and he settled two civil cases about it. And no one even mentioned it for his glory send-off in Pittsburgh, and then the playoff game against the Chiefs. And yeah, situations are different, okay? But no one even they didn't even mention that about him. Now maybe it'll be different with Deshaun Watson. Who knows? But if he wins a couple Super Bowls and he keeps winning, I don't think no one's going to be mentioning that. And look, I'm not done rooting for the Browns. This isn't I'm done rooting for the Browns. I'm disappointed to get it. I honestly, to be honest, was kind of relieved when at first Deshaun Watson said, he wasn't going to be with the Browns. Yeah, I would have liked him as the quarterback. Now he is the quarterback. But I was like, all right, we don't have to deal with all the off the field stuff. That's fine. And now they traded for him. And when they did, I didn't really know what to feel. I still don't know it's not like a LeBron coming back to the Cavs when I was ecstatic. I don't even know what other acquisition I've been so ecstatic about. But like for a deal like this, you get a top five quarterback in the league. You'd think you'd be jumping around. I don't know. I was talking to a bunch of my friends. We were all kind of like, yeah, we have them, but it's a complicated situation. I think it's a complicated situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, I guess it is. No, I mean, not, I guess it is a complicated situation about how you want to look at it. For me, obviously that was my number one pick because I wanted Deshaun Watson to come be a Commander. Regardless of what was going on around him, I knew that, like you said, you know, probably not the greatest thing for me to say, but separate the art from the artist. You know what I mean? I know that's kind of the thing to say nowadays. But when, like you said, when you start winning ball games, all that stuff kind of goes away. And when we're rooting for these teams, more often than not, you're just rooting for the jersey. Sometimes the guys inside the jerseys kind of get lost and you really don't care about who it is wearing them. And it's just, hey, you know, can this guy that's wearing this jersey that I like help us win ball games? Cause when we win ball games, I feel good. You know, it's a fun weekend. I have a great Monday. Have a good week. I can talk some crap to my friends. But you know, when you kind of take a step back and really got to look at it, like you said, you know, there's probably one of those 22 at least probably have some validity to their story. And then she's getting drowned out by these other women that, you know, admittedly from others are just kind of piling on to see if they can get paid out. But I think if you're a Browns fan, I think you're excited. I think you're cautious, but excited. Because yeah, you got to deal with this off the field stuff with what Deshaun's done and has gone through and, you know, kind of the stories that, that are going to go along with it. But at the same time, you know, you're kind of already, and again, not to the same extent, but kind of already going through some off the field drama anyway with Baker, just with his attitude, you know, the wide receivers not wanting to play with him, whether, you know, Odell, Jarvis Landry wanted to trade, they end up just releasing him. I don't know if it's him or not, but I saw that somebody was interested in coming back to the Browns. I don't know if it is Jarvis or not. I don't know. I know you've been spending some time in some, Cleveland Browns Twitter spaces. You've been spending a lot of time in it. So I don't know if you can confirm that it is Jarvis that wants to be back with Cleveland, but you were already kind of dealing with some off the field turmoil surrounding your quarterback. And then, you know, so now you're signing a guy that I think everybody would agree is admittedly much, much better than Baker. And so you're still going to be dealing with a lot of that off the field stuff. It's just going to be maybe to a different extent and maybe just a little bit more than what it was previously, I guess. I don't know. It's, like I said, I think either way you're dealing with some crap surrounding your quarterback, but you're getting an upgrade at the position in a quarterback driven league. And it's definitely improving the Browns and going to improve the team, with the addition of Deshaun Watson. Now the contract, like you said, you don't care about it. That's a ton of money to give to a guy with all that stuff going on, you know, in the, off the field stuff, but it's gonna play out on the field, and how everybody feels about it in the end is probably gonna be what results you get on the field. So, you know, like I said, as far as me goes, with Washington, Carson Wentz, you know, not to make it about me, but you know, again, we've talked about time and time again the weird duality that this sports show has with our teams going on, you know, with our teams in the news, and I would much rather have Deshaun and his extra baggage than having Carson Wentz and just not knowing if he's going to be any good. So like I said, you're dealing with some off the field stuff one way or the other, whether it's Baker, whether it's Deshaun, just to a different extent, but now you get an upgrade at the position.
I mean, there's a big difference of what what you said earlier of the Baker baggage and the Deshaun Watson baggage.
No doubt. I'm not going to deny that. No, 100%.
The thing, like, Baker's thing is he's just a little bit of an asshole, and he doesn't get along with the coach, and he was mad they didn't give him a contract extension after he won the playoff game in Pittsburgh, and he took that personally, and then he decided to try and make a tackle after he threw an interception against the Texans and not get surgery after he blew out his shoulder, hurt his shoulder, and now he's in a situation where nobody wants him. And the Browns probably were never sold on him because they never even offered him an extension. They didn't even go to the bargaining table with them. They just said, you're playing it out. So they've always been looking to upgrade. But I mean, look, if people are mad about the Watson deal, any team would have done that deal for him, making it $1 million to, have his base salary, so when he gets suspended, he only gets $55,000 of lost pay. And is that a scummy move? Yeah, of course that's a scummy move. That's a gross move. That's gross. But you know what? The NFL's gross in general. Okay, this is not. As I said earlier, you don't go. Your moral compass shouldn't be on what NFL teams do. And look. There are probably going to be season ticket holders that drop because they traded for Deshaun Watson. And there's going to be, fans that don't root for the Browns again because they traded for Deshaun Watson. There's been a lot of them so far. There's been people on Twitter that have said that that their fandom's up. Mike Ryan, the producer from the, Levitard show, huge Browns fan. He said he's done. He also then said, I don't know how I'll feel when the first game's on. Who knows? He just feels like he's done now. Joe Posnanski, wrote a Browns diary for like the last 8 years for places. He's claiming he at the beginning said he's a free agent. Then at the end, he doesn't know how he's going to feel. I mean, there's a lot of people I feel like that are just don't know how to feel about the Deshaun Watson move. And I think you do get a huge upgrade at quarterback. You probably have the best quarterback in the AFC North on your team. You got a top five quarterback in the league when he's playing. This throws you steadily into the Super Bowl conversation if he plays for a whole season or if you can make the playoffs. Like, he's a guy that gets you on the same level as Mahomes, gets you on the same level as Josh Allen. He's better than Joe Burrow. He's better than Lamar Jackson. He's better than Justin Herbert. He didn't take a bunch of hits last year because he was sitting out. So you could say he's fresh for a year. Like, he clearly puts you on the path for a Super Bowl. And that's fine, but I don't know, some people sometimes they might just want to not know that guys are bad guys. Because there's plenty of bad guys in the NFL that you don't know about. And if you knew about them, things would be you change your view on him. But you know what? That's the NFL. They're not the moral compass. They don't really handle morals well. So this is what teams are going to do. As I said, 13 teams tried to trade for him when they found out he wasn't going to be, criminally charged by the grand jury. So that's what it is. There's a football side to it. And I also said, look, you only trade 3 first-round picks for him. You trade 2 picks in this draft. They added a 4th-rounder yesterday, and then it's like a 3rd and a 5th. Like, really, that's it? That's all you're giving up for him? At first, it was rumored you have to give, like, Denzel Ward and Kareem Hunt in the trade. It's really a steal for Deshaun Watson on the football field, the trade they gave. Like, they really didn't give up, I don't think, that much.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. Like you say, you know, I think you're – normally when you say some outlandish stuff, I'll call you out on it, but I don't think you're outstepping your bounds or whatever by saying that you are on the same, kind of level as the Mahomes and some of the best teams in the AFC. You know, I still do think they might need, maybe they do bring back Jarvis, maybe they do bring back a little bit more wide receiver help for him. I don't know if Amari is going to be that guy, but you know, they make a couple of different moves there and they're absolutely in the conversation for some of the best teams in the AFC, even with all the additions the AFC has made this season, you know, especially out west. But the compensation you give up for Deshaun, I think every team does that, maybe even a little bit more. So, you know, they've been building up all this draft capital, you know, the last few years. They're finally able to use some of it, most of it their own picks. I know they gave up one pick that they got from Detroit, but still, nonetheless, I think you make that move 10 out of 10 times when you get the caliber of player again, Deshaun Watson, you know, whether he has the baggage or not. So if it's a move for it's a move the Browns have to make, especially in the NFL, again, A, quarterback driven league. How many times have you heard that said? 1,000 times. And B, if you win, these things seem to go away pretty easy. And then, you know, the guys you named of, you know, saying, hey, they're out as Browns fans, yada, yada. The funny thing is they give themselves the caveat. Well, we'll see once the season starts and the first game's played. Because if they're good, then maybe I'll just be like, yeah, you know, I've been a Browns fan all my life. It's hard just to give them up like that, you know, so they give themselves an out. If you were really, I think if they were really out, they wouldn't throw in that caveat of, oh, we'll see once the season rolls around. It's, I'm out. I'm not a Browns fan. I'll just be a fan of the NFL. I won't watch Browns games. You know, if I play fantasy football, I'm not drafting any Browns players, whatever it may be. I think them giving themselves that out and that caveat is, you know, a little bit,
I don't think so, because right now they're disappointed in what they did. There's a lot of people that are disappointed with what the Browns did in Cleveland. There's a large section of the fan base that is very disappointed that they traded for Deshaun Watson. And you might think those people are crazy, but there's a lot of people that are mad about it.
Yeah, I get it.
And they would just rather not deal with that. Like, there's, like I said, there's players that you deal with. Obviously, you deal with this for Deshaun Watson or the Browns. I think it's a good move to deal with it, but there's players that you could get behind. Like I said, Kareem Hunt, a perfect example that you were like, okay, am I pleased probably about this? No, but we're willing to give him a second chance. He's a Cleveland kid. Seems like he made a mistake and things have been. He had one incident on like a highway, but other than that, he seems like he's turned it around and people seem happy for him. I think it's just the scale of stuff that, and when you read some of the allegations, you're just like, ugh, like, I mean, that's it's tough for a lot of people to handle that.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
I'm also just shocked and about Baker. I don't know if you want to talk about Baker, but man, I know there's not a lot of teams out there for a quarterback right now. You look at Carolina, but they're probably not going to trade for him. It pretty much comes down to Seattle, and he really wanted the Colts. The Colts didn't want him, but man, the people are really, like, I'm down on him, but I heard Bart Scott say, or he said that he's not even a starter in the league. He's not a top 32 quarterback. Get out of here. He's a starter in the league. And he's on like an $18 million deal. Like, he's a pretty cheap. Who would you rather have, Baker or Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised people are, I think this is a good low buy. You get him for a year, you gotta think he's gonna have a big chip on his shoulder. The guy creates chips all the time. Now he's got one. An actual one.
I think he'd be great in San Francisco. If they don't want Jimmy G, I think that's an easy fit for him.
Oh, I think Jimmy G's leaps and bounds better than Baker. I thought that was hilarious that I think that was the Browns putting that out, trying to drive the price up. There's no way that San Francisco would say, we're not gonna take Jimmy G. We're gonna trade for Baker when we have a guy that's better than Baker to play over Trey Lance. I think that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough because they were both kind of banged up this season.
One guy took his team to the NFC Championship game when he was banged up. The other guy threw four picks after he was playing Halo till 3 a.m. like on the Green Bay game. Okay? Like, it's pretty easy.
Well, for you to say that, do you think Jimmy G's leaps and bounds better than Baker? I mean, then why are you so shocked that I'd take Carson Wentz over Baker?
Because I think we know what the two are, because he's $10 million cheaper.
Yeah.
And there's more cap space up. That's why I'm surprised about that, because I think Wentz and Baker, they're on like the same, they're a step below, Jimmy G, if you're looking at it on the parallel.
Wow. Okay. That's just surprising for me to hear you say that.
I'm a Jimmy G guy. You know that.
Yeah.
I was ready to trade him. I was ready for them to trade for him to get out of Baker. But I'm just surprised how everyone is down on Baker, I guess. I don't know. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah.
And who's, I mean, he might get, the Browns are going to have to pray someone gets hurt in a training camp. Because who knows when he's going to get traded. I mean, he's going to be there. They got $18 million they got to get out of there. And they're not cutting him because they're trying to get out of that contract. I don't, and like the fact that Houston didn't even want him after they could add, they have Davis Mills. They want to just ride with Davis to see if they'll be bad, if he's bad or good. That's tough. He's a reason for a rude. He got a rude wake up call this past couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I think he kind of sees where teams view him.
Not very good.
Yeah.
All right. So, lastly, World Cup qualifiers this week starts on Thursday night. They play in Mexico. So here's where we stand with three games to go. The top. So automatic qualification is huge in this. You want to finish in the top three. The fourth goes to the play-in match against, I think, Oceania. Well, you'll beat Oceania, but the bigger things are for the World Cup. You don't want to be the U.S. They want to automatically qualify because then they'll be in pot two for the draw, which means that they'll be in a better, They'll get worse teams in their draw. If they're in pot four, they'll be with three really good teams. So that's where we're at. So where we stand going into this is that the U.S. right now is in second behind Canada. They are tied at 21 points with Mexico. Canada's 25 points, pretty much all but cleared it up. Panama has got 17 points. Costa Rica has 16 points. So they play Mexico on Monday, or on Thursday, I said. Then Sunday night, they host Panama. If they beat Panama, they're pretty much in the World Cup. But if they draw to Panama, then they got to go to Costa Rica, where they never win, and try and grind out a draw. And it's That's when things get shaky. So if you could beat Mexico on Thursday, that would be fantastic. But if it just comes, it all comes down to Sunday night against Panama. That is the must win of all must wins because Panama, they play Honduras and then they play Canada. Canada might mail it in. You never know. And then Costa Rica plays the U.S. and Costa Rica plays Canada. And El Salvador. So look, Panama's probably gonna win one, Costa Rica's gonna win one, and they both got two tough games. But that U.S. game against Panama on Sunday is massive. They win it, they're in. The problem with the U.S. team right now is three of their top guys hurt. Weston McKennie tore a hamstring with Juventus about 3 to 4 weeks ago. He's out for the rest of the year, even for club football. Then Sergiño Dest for Barcelona on Thursday night in their Europa League. Pulled a hammy. He's out for like a month. And then on Sunday for his club team, Brendan Aaronson, he's a striker, been playing great with Salzburg right now in the German league. He has an MCL sprain. He flew to Houston to see if he could do it. Nope, can't do it. So he's out. So top players are thinning. And this is, I would say the nerves of the U.S. men's soccer team fans right now are at, kind of high because just remember of 2018 of them choke. They can't even draw to Trinidad and Tobago. It's going to be tough work for them.
Yeah, the good thing is right now they kind of own Mexico, do we not? I mean, we've beat Mexico, the last two or three times? So, you know, that's the positive part.
But that's this is on the road in Mexico.
Yeah, just as long as all the fans make it out of there alive.
They'll be hit with pee bags.
Well, I don't know if you saw a couple weeks ago.
No, I did. They're in a cage. They're legit in a cage, and the U.S. fans get a police escort in.
I think they would gladly take the pee bags. I think this is a big time for USA soccer because, you know, what is it, two World Cups in a row they haven't made, or three? It's,
if they didn't make this one, they would miss two in a row.
So, yeah, it's, especially with Pulisic, the way he's been playing, you know, for the club or for the country lately. I mean, shoot, his club too. He's been killing it for Chelsea. So, you know, you want to see that guy on the biggest, brightest stage. And if he's not able to do that, he's got to wait another 4 years, whatever it is. It's, you know, you gotta think that's pretty close to curtains for U.S. men's soccer.
I wouldn't say the thing close to curtains, like they're always going to have really good players because guys are always going to want to play soccer. I don't think people, if they're good, are going to stop playing soccer because they're not making the World Cup.
I mean, from a fan standpoint.
Yes. No, I know what you mean from a fan standpoint. But also, from the U.S. men's national team, it's a once-a-year thing. It's a once-every World Cup thing. There are your soccer fans that watch when they play in the, in the Gold Cup, which they need to change up. But, like, there are fans that watch that, but that's not a casual. That's not a casual soccer fan thing, or the sports fan. The casual sports fan shows up in the World Cup. And if you don't make a World Cup from 2014, if you miss 2018 and 22, then you're hosting the World Cup in 2026. You're going to get an auto bid there, so you don't even have to qualify for that. It's just, that's not a way to build any momentum into 2026 when you have so many good young players in Europe right now. Like, the U.S. has so many good players that are playing overseas and playing great. Like, it is really, really good to see, and it's just a problem if they don't make it again from that standpoint.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it absolutely is.
All right, anything else here? I think that wraps it up for us today.
I think that's it.
All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you then.